Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening. Welcome to the Monday Morning Hangover Fantasy Football Podcast, brought to you by BackSportsPage.com. This is Mo, and I'm coming to you live, my co-host T, and of course, Kant. So we got the second show of Season 2, and tonight we're focusing strictly on the quarterback position. Both T and I have our early ranking set. I'm sure there'll be plenty of arguments to come in the next hour as we sort out the most important and potentially deepest position this season in fantasy football. We'll also discuss your strategy, how it should change when playing in a two-quarterback league as opposed to a more typical one-quarterback league. So as we discuss, feel free to call in. We'd love to hear from you. We'll be taking calls at 760-283-0846. Again, that's 760-283-0846, or you can inbox us on Facebook. All right, and I know exactly where to start. Again, I think I like it better this way. You don't have much of an outline anymore, but I know T is number one quarterback, and he took the unorthodox approach of, now we like to split our quarterbacks into tiers. Pretty much every ranking we do, we like to split them up into tiers. I think that's the best way to do it, and I think pretty much everyone has the same top three quarterbacks, not necessarily in this order. Mine would be Peyton, Rodgers, Brees. He took his own path and decided to put Brees ahead of both of these guys. So
I actually put Rodgers ahead of Manning too. Manning's my number three.
Right. Take over. Feel free to explain yourself. Why would you go against this?
You're already acting like I'm wrong. You're saying
So you went against the guy who had the most historically statistical fantasy season at the quarterback position of all time last year. Not much has changed for him. I mean,
yeah, that's good. And your ranking should be based on what you think is going to happen this year, not exactly what happened last year. You're not getting last year's points.
Yeah, that's fine. I mean, I think my reasoning, Peyton looks great in camp. He's pretty much the same weapons, the full season of hopefully healthy Julius Thomas. You know, he's got a young, talented rookie running back in Monte Ball who's learned pass protection, is better at it now. I mean, Breeze, the only thing I see, they add, what's his name, Brandon Cooks, but we don't even know what his role is going to be, rookie. And, you know, it wasn't even that high of a pick. So, I mean, it's fine.
I'm not even talking about weapons with these guys, because, first of all, I think you can't really go wrong with any of these three. I think we can all, not all, but both agree that the only way that one of these three guys busts is by injury. None of these guys are going to have a bad season.
Yeah, and I guess by that explanation, Peyton's the most likely to get hurt, you got to assume.
Not only that, I don't care about Breeze's weapons. When has Breeze had elite weapons?
No.
The best wide receiver he's ever played with is Marquise Colson. He has Jimmy Graham. Yeah, Pierre Thomas led the league in catches last year for running backs. My thing is, first of all, I think Breeze is the safest pick out of the three. Yeah, he's finished in the top five in quarterbacks every year since 2006. That's an unbelievable feat when you think about it. He's been a top five fantasy quarterback for 9 straight years. That means he hasn't gotten hurt, and he's been at an elite level for 9 years. Second, he has the easiest schedule in the league. And not only that, Aaron Rodgers has the second easiest schedule in the league. So,
Let me finish this one point.
Peyton Manning has the hardest schedule in the league. And now, like I said, I'm splitting hairs with these three. It's not, but, you know, I'm not picking Breeze just because of the schedule. I'm picking Breeze over Manning because I think they're basically even, but when it comes down to it, I'm going to use the schedule as a tiebreaker. And you know who had the easiest schedule in the league last year going into the season?
Go ahead. Peyton
Manning.
Yeah.
Everything
went
right for Peyton last year.
You could also, I wish we had it in front of us if you had my defensive team, not just me. I mean, everyone pretty much had the same tier rankings, and you don't know who's going to be good. If you want to update throughout the year, like at this time last season, you were supposed to bench your player. If someone was saying if you had to face Chicago and New England, they technically bad matchups. But Chicago ended up being, both of those teams ended up being bottom five defenses when it got, for yardage against. So I see what you're saying, but you also can't base it necessarily based on that. Just
and,
think maybe,
but I just said I'm not. I'm basically using it as a tiebreaker. Going into the season, that's
like,
going to, you know.
Right, and at, yeah, and at this point, between the three of them, they are so close that
like,
pretty much everyone's tiebreaker is going to be Manning's huge season last year. So if you go for something, right, here, it's probably not going to happen again. You got to expect some regression.
That's another thing. I feel like if you draft Peyton Manning this year, you're going to be disappointed no matter what, unless he breaks last year.
Especially if you take him so much higher than these other two guys.
Yeah.
Which, say, if you take him in the first round of a one quarterback league, which is definitely possible this year, and the other two fall out of the first round, no one expects too much of a difference between these guys.
And I got to tell you, I'm actually thinking about moving on to Edwards. To tell you the truth.
Like, if you can go either way, and I think, to be honest, I think Manning is, I mean, not only is he offering the highest upside, as he kind of showed, but...
No, I think Rodgers offers the highest upside. I mean, I guess it's stupid to say that coming off.
Rodgers has to be the best season of all time.
No, because Peyton Manning, come on, that's an outlier.
There's Rodgers, I mean, I would give the edge to the two of them, Rodgers and Manning, just because they have better weapons than Breeze, slightly better weapons.
Rodgers has the running effect, too, let's not forget.
Yeah,
he runs. Especially for those leagues that don't offer, you know, six rushing touchdowns and four passing touchdowns, But, I mean, like, all three of these guys are extremely, extremely consistent. You know, before last year, Rodgers had a five-year period. Starting in 2008, this is his quarterback ranking finishes. Second, first, second. So, you know, he finished in the top two for 5 years in a row before last year. So, like you said, you can't go wrong with any of these guys. I think in leagues with six points per passing touchdown, all three of these guys should be first-round picks.
And especially in two quarterback leagues, they become extremely more valuable.
In two quarterback leagues, these guys should probably be the top three picks.
Yeah, I wouldn't argue against it. Absolutely, there's so many other outlying factors, but. Yeah, you can go. I mean, it's not even fun arguing these two. Like you said, they're so close. All you're going to be doing is nitpicking, and no one knows. You know, you can't predict a broken collarbone or a neck stinger or whatever the, you know, whatever these guys have had in the past. So, the fun starts in tier two at number four, and this is where it's all going to start to differ. But assuming we have like similar amounts of categories, how many guys do you have in your tier two?
I was just going to ask you that. I think, to tell you the truth, I think, because quarterback's so deep, it's weird. I think I need to cut my tier two in half because I have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 7 guys in here.
2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, same. And
okay.
I was going to suggest, I'm fine with, so that leaves us with 10. So in a typical 10-team, one quarterback league, I definitely want to get one of these 10
right.
guys. If you don't get one of the three, pay attention. If you don't get one of the top three, then you can wait because at that point the next seven are all fairly similar.
Unless you have an idiot in your league that sort of dropped the backup high.
But then again, I mean, because I know you're much higher on RG3 than me. So say RG3, I'm sure he falls in your top 10. What if you take RG3 or Romo? Someone who's injury prone. Romo just coming off two back surgeries. What if you take one of these guys? I would actually advise you to take a backup quarterback, not necessarily so early. Maybe a lower guy with a little bit of upside, but...
Right. What I'm saying is you don't need to take two top 10 guys in a 10 quarterback league.
Two top 10 guys in a two quarterback league.
In a 10 team, one quarterback.
Oh, no. You should definitely get one of these guys, and like I said, then you build up the rest of your team, and I don't think it's a terrible strategy. That's only if you don't get one of the top three. If you get one of the top three, you have a huge advantage, on a week-to-week basis over the rest of them. So we could say that. So RG3 is in your top 10, right? I think that's...
Yeah, I have him at number 8.
Or 8. I dropped him all the way down to 15, and it's not that I don't like his talent necessarily. I think he's, especially for fantasy purposes, the guy, he can run, he's got a great arm. He improved his weapons this year, and everything's looking up for him. He was dynamic his rookie season. And then after the injury, he was just never the same quarterback. And it was clearly in his head. And I know you get over that to a certain degree. I don't know. I mean, of course, I wouldn't be surprised if he finishes a top five quarterback. But
well, here's why I like him. Like you already mentioned the weapons. I mean, for those that don't know, you know, they trade or they signed to Deshaun Jackson, right? The Eagles club.
Yeah.
I think Jordan Reed is one of the most underrated tight ends in the league, with his injury concerns of his own. But my thing with RG3 is, like, first of all, I think he got held to an impossible standard. He came back from an ACL injury a year after Adrian Peterson did. And everybody was like, well, Adrian Peterson, you know, just because Adrian Peterson did it that quickly doesn't mean everybody should have.
You're right, but then he shouldn't have been playing that early.
But I'm not holding it against him this year for his play last year because I think he wasn't playing at 100%.
Okay.
And I think everybody's kind of holding last year against him when it was so, I mean, if you saw him play last year, it was obvious that he wasn't 100%. And I just, you know, I like the fact that he's going for Mike Shanahan, it's never been proven, but we can speculate that he kind of had problems with, to Jay Gruden, who is a pass-first offense, and who, by the way, turned Andy Dalton, who is much less talented than RG3, and didn't have the weapons that RG3 did, into a top-five quarterback last year, fantasy-wise.
Now, I could see, and I definitely recognize all the upside. I completely understand, fully comprehend. I'm just more worried about the injury than anything else. He's just so frail, and like I said, I wouldn't be surprised if he finished in the top five. But the reason I wouldn't take him is because I just think there's other safer quarterbacks in the same territory, such as, I love the value you're getting out of these guys. If you do wait, if someone takes one of those top three quarterbacks in the first round, so say you end up with one of the top running backs, or even Calvin Johnson or whatever, I think that production plus I have my fourth-rated quarterback. My four, five, six, they're all fairly similar to me. Matthew Stafford, Tom Brady, Andrew Luck. These guys are just so solid year in and year out. And Stafford, I just think his upside is incredible. Brady, he had a terrible year, but, you know, that was the worst year of his career. He didn't have the weapons at all. And you could say with the top three guys, it doesn't matter who the weapons are because they never had elite guys. The receivers Brady had last year were just awful.
Although,
that was pathetic.
Not for nothing, but New England, people always think, like, you know, Brady 10 years ago when he set the record, people hold on to that. New England runs the ball a lot in the red zone when they don't have Gronkowski.
Right, and now they're struggling at the running back position. I mean, for Brady's sake, you get Gronk back, who's didn't make the pup list this year. I mean, didn't make it last year either, but he still didn't play. He's going to start. It looks like he's going to play week one. All indications have him playing week one.
Oh, God, I hope so.
They have Shane Vereen healthy, who is practically their number one receiver. Danny Amendola, we know he's going to get hurt at some point, but the longer he can stay healthy, it's a bonus. And then Julian Edelman. Yeah, we all know he's a good player, and he's definitely a reliable player, especially compared. If you have these four guys back, plus Edelman. Don't forget Edelman, who established himself as a top 15 wide receiver, even better during the last parts of the season last year. There's definitely there's so much more reliability within this team and just stability as well that I think Brady is just going to be Tom Brady. He's going to be the same player that he was the past 15 years, aside from last season. I talked about the other two, and then Andrew Luck, it's not a huge call. We all know how talented this guy is. I just like the fact that they upgrade their weapons a bit. Reggie Wayne's back. T.Y. Hilton, what is he, third-year player?
Yeah, they didn't get anything from Hakeem Nicks.
Yeah, add Hakeem Nicks.
Dwayne Allen.
He's got so many more weapons. They want to become more of a throwing offense. They struggled in the running game last year. I think they realized
they want to run, but I don't believe it.
Right. It's obvious they add to the passing game. Their interior offensive line is lackluster at best, so I think they got to play to their strengths, and that includes lining up in three wide receiver sets with Nicks, Hilton, And Reggie Wayne, who's apparently looked fantastic in camp after coming off the torn ACL. So I just love, I think he, Luck is ready to take that next step finally. And he was good last year, too, even before, you know, he was, I believe, I'm going to assume that he finished in the top 10. He played every game last year. And he also brings you that running threat, the run for touchdowns as well. So what do you, I'd be interested just because Luck is one of my, I feel like I'm a little bit higher than most people.
No, I think I'm actually higher than him. What are you, I'm at six?
Six, yeah.
I'm at five.
All right.
Right after Stafford, I have Stafford, Luck. Actually, we're kind of similar. I have Stafford, Luck, and then I have Cam Newton at six, but Brady at seven.
I was just going to ask that because
I just want to make one point. Just to how deep I feel quarterback is, you kept saying it with RG3 that you wouldn't be surprised if he finished in the top five. I got to tell you, I have 14, my top 14 quarterbacks, I think, could all finish in the top five. Okay.
Top 14, I mean, I guess you could say that.
Tony Romo was my 14th rated quarterback.
Wow, you got him that low. I have him 9th in that second tier.
Well, I will move him up if he looks good in preseason. I'm just worried about his back injury.
Yeah, his offense is unbelievable.
Yeah,
they really are.
If he looks healthy in the preseason, he will be a top 10 quarterback for me.
Yeah, and that's also a matter of staying healthy. And I might have even mentioned his name before. He's one of the guys, him and RG3, are the two that I was referring to when I said if you take one of these guys, you're going to need a backup eventually. So you have Cam Newton. I think Cam Newton takes a step back. He's obviously still going to be good because he does run the ball, even though last year he had his fourth year. I mean, a career low in rushing yards and touchdowns.
This will be his fourth year.
Yeah, he had the ankle surgery. I can't help. And his weapons just completely disintegrated.
So here's my thing about Newton. He never had great weapons. Like, he lost a 35, 36-year-old Steve Smith. It's not like he lost 26-year-old Steve Smith in his prime. He's not losing a top 10 wide receiver here. And I get it. Like, he has the worst weapons out of anyone in the top 10 by far. You know, but he just seems to get, like, his value is in running, and he always seems to do just enough in the passing game to be fantasy elite. He's been a top four quarterback in all 3 years. Now, granted, I think he's been the number four quarterback 3 years in a row, but still top four quarterback all 3 years. And, you know, he just, like I said, he's never done it. He's averaged over 5 yards per carry every year he's been in the league. His career low in rushing touchdowns is six. You know,
why I think his floor is so high.
And just one more thing, because you just said floor kind of set me off. I think it's completely possible that Newton is still getting better as a player. So while his targets might be getting worse, I still think Newton is getting better.
Yeah, no, I can agree with that. I just think with the worse, the less in targets, the inconsistency at the running back position. That's how it's been for the past few years, but I think he's going to be solid. I just don't think he's worth as high of a pick as the three guys we just talked about, Luck, Stafford, and Brady. But Cameron will definitely, you can almost bet, he'll completely bet that he's going to finish as a top 10 guy. But I'm not going to draft him only because he's going higher because of the things you just mentioned, the top four finishes.
My biggest point, though, is Steve Smith isn't Steve Smith. If his name wasn't Steve Smith, no one would think it was that they're going to get him. But he's done so much for the Panthers.
He's still a good player. I mean,
he's still the best wide receiver, I get it. But, like, the Giants lost to Keenan Nix, and no one's like, oh, Eli Manning's going to suck.
Eli Manning already sucked last year, even with a Keenan Nix. So.
We'll get to him.
Look, this is a guy I'm going to drop, and as we, you know, we talk about over and over.
What do you have Newton just out of curiosity?
What's that?
What do you have Newton?
I have Newton at seven, right behind Andrew Luck. So only because
we actually have we have the same top seven, except we switched Newton and Brady.
Yeah, and only because these other guys bring concerns. Tony Romo we already talked about, and this guy Nick Foles, who I have at eight, which I don't love, and I think I'm going to drop it just because. He's also he's my number eight quarterback, but he's also one of my overrated.
I have him at 11, and I think I want to drop him. Let's put Butler.
Yeah, the guy was phenomenal last year. There was no film on him. Chip Kelly's offense is brand new. He had a ridiculous, what is the exact number? Like 20-2?
27-2.
Yeah, that doesn't happen.
I'll get his exact numbers. Just
No, go ahead. As you're looking at, while you're looking it up, I mean, that just absolutely doesn't happen. He loses to Sean Jackson, who was the number one guy by far last year, and he gets an injured Jeremy Maclin now. I think it definitely helps that you add Darren Sproles, who's going to play more of a receiver role. I think everyone knows that. It's going to add another aspect to that offense, to that already versatile, dynamic offense. He'll be a decent player. He'll definitely be good. I think I'm going to keep him at 8. I might drop him to 9 or 10. I think if he plays a full season, he'll finish as a top 10 quarterback. And I think he's just a little bit safer than these other guys I have below him. But,
okay, got it. Sorry.
No, go ahead. I mean, I think I made my point clear.
I don't want to call it beginner's luck because that seems so easy to do. But I don't think teams game planned around Nick Foles last year. I think that everybody's worried about stopping LeSean McCoy or DeSean Jackson or, you know. I think that teams are going to be ready for Nick Foles this year. I think he's a completely overrated player. You know, I have him at 11, and my next three quarterbacks are Russell Wilson, Matt Ryan, and Tony Romo. And I think I'm going to move all three of them ahead of him. The Eagles run the ball more than anyone else in the league. They're going to run the ball in the red zone. They have three pretty good running backs with LeSean McCoy, Chris Polk, and Darren Sproles. He lost DeSean Jackson. I know he gets back Jeremy Maclin, but he lost DeSean Jackson. I don't know if he has that wide receiver that could take the top off of defense. I can't picture him having a 17.5-1 touchdown to interception ratio again.
No, it's probably not going to happen again. But I still think he's pretty safe. It kind of reminds me of Josh Freeman, his rookie year. Just had a ridiculous, you know, he wasn't. Obviously, Nick Foles was great last year, but the touchdown to ratio was great. If you watch them play, I mean, they played kind of conservative, and
well, they run the ball a
right.
Lot.
As I say, they played kind of conservative. That accounted mostly for his lack of interceptions. There's always luck involved and stuff like that. So, while I still think Foles will finish top 10, I'm probably going to drop him behind Tony Romo. And like you said, assuming Romo finishes or he looks healthy in camp at least.
There's also a couple of factors that don't go into, like, first of all, people are going to have film on not only Foles, but on Chip Kelly's offense. And two, like, last year, what did the Eagles go, 10-6, 11-5 in the division? That was good enough because they were expected to finish last. So what Nick Foles did was good enough. Now he's going to actually have to go out and win games and be expected to win games and be expected to win a division. And that's a completely different set of, you know, expectations.
Well, you alluded to it in the beginning, and I actually shot it down, but there's a certain amount of respect you have to give to this factor, is that the defenses in that division are pretty awful. I mean, Dallas is one of the worst.
I don't think the Giants have ever seen.
No, the Giants defense, they could have improved, but they weren't good. They weren't great last year.
The thing about the Giants, at the very least, is they have actually a really good secondary. I mean, linebackers, they're not great. Washington stinks, and Dallas literally has to have the worst secondary.
And they, I think they allowed the most points per game or most passing or something in history last season.
Wasn't it the most rushing yards per game or something like that?
Whatever it was, they're really bad.
Don't you remember it was like the first game that they allowed all those yards was when Mark Ingram went off on them? No, I'm sorry. I started Mark Ingram they played the Cowboys played the Saints on like a Thursday night game. And I started Mark Ingram and he put up like 2 points. The only time I will ever start Mark Ingram in fantasy.
Well, the worst thing, and they didn't improve on defense at all.
The Cowboys, they got worse. They lost Sean Lee.
Yeah, it's really bad.
Although you know who Rolando McClain is, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Apparently, he looks phenomenal in camp.
Yeah, didn't they just sign him like a week ago? I mean, they need a lot more help than that, than a bust from 5 years ago. So,
well, whatever. But so you have Foles at 8. I have, like I said, I have RG3 at 8. We've already kind of talked about him. Who do you have at 9?
9, Romo, I brought up, but then 10 is my.
You have who?
So 10, I have put Kaepernick.
Okay, I have Kaepernick at 9, and actually somebody who I'm surprised hasn't come up when you're. I'm actually surprised
I got him circled.
Yeah,
I got him
Jay
circled.
Color.
Yeah, I got him circled. He's got to move up to. I guess I just didn't edit it, and he's one of the guys. He's on my sleeper list, which I'll talk about later.
So let's talk about Kaepernick first, because I feel like we're going to talk about Colin for a while. So let's just get Kaepernick out of the way, because you have him at 8 and I have him at 9 or whatever.
I'm all excited. All right, I can wait.
All right, so when I was doing research today, I actually came across Kaepernick, and I actually moved him up in my rankings a couple spots. Because, to be honest, his efficiency really, really, his efficiency really surprised me. You look at Kaepernick and you think that he's like this player that makes a ton of mistakes and stuff, because you see him running around and throwing the ball all over. And, you know, he's really actually pretty good with the ball. You know, we all know his rushing abilities. He's gonna rush for 500 yards. He's probably gonna rush for 4 or 5 touchdowns at least. But last year, he had almost a 3-to-1 touchdown to interception ratio. And he didn't really turn the ball over much. He averaged 16.5 fantasy points per game in your standard scoring league with four points per passing touchdown. But in the final five games when Michael Crabtree played, that he averaged 19 a game, and in the last three he averaged 22. So I think that Kaepernick might take that next step up if, you know, he has the weapons. He has Vernon Davis. He has Crabtree. He has Stevie Johnson and Quan Bolden. He has a strong running game. I think this will be the year, if Kaepernick ever takes a step, I think this will be the year that he does it.
Yeah, I mean, it's only going to be his second full season. You know, more importantly, he had his first full season behind him, where he got to learn. You know, that's a big step to take, especially for a young kid. I mean, you said it. They're going to throw the ball more.
I was just going to say, my only question is, they say they want to throw the ball more. Harbaugh's
Well, they're usually more of a running team. So, and he still finished as a, you know, he had a good fantasy season. So they can only, any more that they throw can only be a bonus.
Yeah, I don't think they're going to throw the ball less. Let's put it that way.
Right. You know, they add Stevie Johnson, obviously. That's a nice, reliable target. Crabtree all year. And they have a ton of veteran receivers who are just reliable. I mean, they're going to make plays for this guy. So
yeah.
Everything's in place. That's why, and its upside itself, his talent is just absolutely tremendous. So,
you know what I think is so underrated too? They have two guys in Crabtree and Anquan Boldin that can be covered, and you can still throw on the ball.
That's what I like about it. His interceptions are going to be down so much just because of that.
And so, Davis too, really. Sorry, Chris.
Right. And even Gore can catch the ball. So phenomenal supporting cast for Colin Kaepernick. That's why. And all these guys wouldn't really be shocked if they finish as top 5 quarterbacks.
I told you, I got 14 guys that you decided about.
Yeah, I would. I mean, I guess we have to be similar.
Well, who's your 14th guy?
My 14th guy? Russell Wilson. So I kind of would be shocked if he finished top 5.
Last year was nearly, last year he was 10, but
yeah,
I think his rookie year he was number 6.
Yeah, but since he's been their quarterback, they've been 31st and 32nd in passing attempts. So
yeah, but he's a. Anyway, we'll talk about him. And
he's just. I love him as a quarterback. I mean, the guy. What else is there to say about him? Obviously, he won a Super Bowl. So.
He's a much better player in real life than he is in fantasy, but I think he's a very, very underrated fantasy player.
He's still fine. I just don't want him as my QB1. I really don't. And honestly,
I have him myself, but.
I don't want him as my QB2 either. I just think there's other guys with much more potential you can get later. I think he's just a little overrated. Obviously, he's solid. They just don't throw the ball enough. And you said it, he's a perfect example of a guy who's a much better real-life player than a fantasy player. I'm guessing you have to have Phillip Rivers at 11.
No, I have Phillip Rivers low. I have Phillip Rivers at 15.
15, especially for you. I mean, you made a living off this guy last year. I'm surprised why you dropped him so low.
It's not hating Phillip Rivers. It's the fact that I just think there's so many guys ahead of him.
I mean, so I would definitely, put Rivers definitely ahead of Wilson. This tier's a little, this can go, it's going to be mixed up. It's going to be mixed up a lot. I'm going to drop Russell Wilson.
To be honest, I think... Like, my tier 3 starts at 11 with Colts. I want to move up to you guys to tier 2 and cut that in half. And then, because, I don't know. It gets tough here because you're talking about the difference between quarterback 1 and quarterback 2 here.
You know what I mean? Because we both have 10 guys in the top two tiers. How many guys do you have in your third tier?
Five.
All
right. So, I mean, I've met Ryan here, who, if
a guy,
he's
like
definitely
a
guy, he, I wouldn't be surprised if he finished top five just because his passing attempts are always up there. Julio Jones got hurt again. The guy just, he's probably not going to stay healthy for the entire year. We know that.
Roddy White, too, last year.
Right. That's why Matt Ryan had such a down year. I think he's only going to get better just because Roddy White, he's going to stay healthy. He's back to normal, so he'll be fine. But you also got to remember, they lose Tony Gonzalez, which was probably the safest player in the league. Roto was your prototypical third down reliable option. And they replaced him with pretty much no one. So there's still a lot has to go right in order for Matt Ryan to finish in the top five if he was going to do that, because we know he's not a top five talent.
Right. Well, I just think, you know, everybody has to stay healthy, which it doesn't look like it's going to happen. Steven Jackson's already hurt. He already has a hamstring issue. They have that talented rookie, Devontae Freeman. You touched on Roddy White and Julio Jones. They're both top 10 wide receivers if they both stay healthy. Losing Gonzalez will hurt. And I think an underrated thing is that they used the 6th overall pick to draft Jake Matthews, who's probably the most NFL-ready lineman to come in to the league in a decade. So, you know, you're getting a stud right tackle to start with once they need it. I mean, Steven Jackson, if they stay healthy, they should have a pretty strong run game. Steven Jackson can catch the ball out of the backfield. If they have Jarquez Rogers to catch the ball out of the backfield. You know, I mean, so I think Matt Ryan's definitely a top 10 guy if his wide receivers stay healthy. And Roddy White should stay healthy. He's never hurt. Not sure if he's a freak sprained ankle.
I think he'll absolutely be fine. I think Ryan, I mean, Harry Douglas established himself as a pretty good player, not just for fantasy. So having him as your third option at wide receiver just makes Matt Ryan even more valuable.
Harry Douglas isn't Julio Jones. Julio Jones, you can argue Julio Jones is the second best wide receiver in the league when he's healthy.
Yeah, well, of course. But I'm saying, I mean, having a third option of Harry Douglas is pretty nice. He'll take away some of the blow of losing Tony Gonzalez because, I mean, let's be honest, that was Harry Douglas' first good year. The guy's played before, and he just never showed anything until last year.
He's actually a lot younger than I thought he was. Last year was only his third year.
Yeah, I feel like he's been around for longer, too. I guess he always had chances because Julio's
always hurt. Exactly.
I wonder who you said you had six guys in there. Who else did you put here?
Foles was the starter at 11. I have Wilson at 12, Ryan at 13, Romo at 14. Like I said, you know, if these guys start looking good in preseason and Julio Jones actually makes it out of preseason healthy, I think I'm going to move Foles down and those three up. And then to round out, I have Rivers and Roethlisberger. And I think I'm going to move Roethlisberger down a tier.
Yeah, Roethlisberger, he's the second one of my next tier. Same thing. He's kind of topped out, and they're going to go back to being a running team and maintaining the ball. I just think this is where, I mean, tier three, these guys we just talked about now, that's like the last of it. If you're in a one quarterback league and you end up with someone less than them, it's bad. It's really bad. There's no reason why it should happen, to be honest, just because you should never be waiting that long to pay your quarterback.
You better have an advantage at wide receiver, running back, and tight end every week.
Right.
No
one's going to take that many backup quarterbacks, you would assume. So these guys, tier four, this is where the quarterback two talk starts. I'll just go off. I have five guys here.
Tier four? One, two, three, four. That's seven.
I just think these guys are established veterans with pretty much no upside, but they're going to give you solid production. They're good bye-week fill-ins. Guys are going to be on the waiver wire.
That's kind of what I have, except I have Tannehill in this tier, who I think has upside.
Yeah, I have him lower. I mean, I guess you could fit him in here. I want to be the top five guys. I'm actually going to move. I'm probably going to end up putting Carson Palmer in this tier also.
He's the last guy I have.
Yeah, I have Andy Dalton, Roethlisberger, Eli, Alex Smith, Joe Flacco.
I have all those guys, except I have Tannehill, Josh McCown, and Palmer in this.
All right, Josh McCown's my next one. So that's not too shocking either. Love McCown's weapons in Tampa Bay, and I guess you could consider him a veteran as well. You know, this is I guess I didn't realize how easy this is. I thought there were going to be more arguments. I didn't realize we were so close and so close in rankings.
Yeah, well, I mean, I have Flacco a lot higher than you. I am at 17. You have more.
20.
Yeah, I love Gary Kubiak's offense. I love the fact that Matt Schaub was a top five fantasy quarterback in Gary Kubiak's offense. Granted, Matt Schaub may have had more talent around him than Joe Flacco does, but I think Joe Flacco is a much better quarterback than Matt Schaub ever was. So, I think if Joe Flacco is your quarterback too, I think, you know, you can do a lot worse than that. And, you know, I kind of went through Eli last year. He has one of the easiest, I think it's the fourth easiest schedule, a new offense in which he's not going to be getting sacked, which I believe is, going to lead to less turnovers, because Eli's biggest problem last year was turnovers. You know, but I think last year was kind of anomaly. I know Eli looked very bad at times, to be honest. But, you know, he had 27 interceptions last year, and he threw 18 of them in 5 games, which means he only threw 9 in 11 games. So, I mean, like I said, Joe Flacco, Manning, Roethlisberger, they're all the same to me. They're all kind of safe. Even Carson Palmer, you know what you're getting out of Carson Palmer. At this point in his career, he's going to be nothing different. He's going to be a solid guy that's going to give you a decent amount of points every week, but he's not going to make that jump. None of these guys can make that jump.
I don't think they're going to make the jump, but considering especially where Palmer got drafted last year and didn't have a great year, I think he's the only guy, and that's the reason I'm moving him up. I had him lower to begin with. But just, I think he has, in Bruce Arians' offense, they're going to be more of a throwing team, and you had Larry Fitzgerald, you had Michael Floyd, who's looking to become one of, you know, he had a good, great, top 1,000 yards last year for the first time, so he's looking to become a decent receiver.
He's going
to
be better than Fitzgerald this year, mark it down right now.
Well, fantasy-wise, points-wise?
Yeah.
I fully disagree, but... I mean, there's also, then you add Andre Ellington is also a great pass catcher out of the backfield.
If Michael Floyd went to Rutgers instead of Notre Dame, would you agree?
No. I mean, maybe I'm sticking with Larry Fitzgerald because he's another, Big East guy, but no. Larry Fitzgerald, talent-wise, I mean, the guy's still a top five talent. I mean, he has been for years, so. I just think he's great weapons if everyone stays healthy. They could always, and I think Ellington's honestly the difference, and they're going to want to throw the ball a little bit more. Obviously, you don't want Carson Palmer as your number one quarterback, but if you're going this late and you're taking any of those guys that we just talked about, I think Carson Palmer absolutely belongs in that category just because he is the one guy, not take the next step, but you know, I wouldn't be surprised if he finished ahead of everyone in that category.
Yeah, I think Carson Palmer is your ideal quarterback three in a 10-team, like two quarterback league, you know what I mean, where you're going to draft the same quarterback. You know, you could plug him in for 2 weeks. He's going to give you decent games, nothing terrible, nothing great. And you could plug him in, and if a guy goes down, he's going to be pretty steady for you throughout.
Yeah, he's pretty reliable. They don't have much, the rookie backup right now. So I just think he's just solid. Like you said, he'd be a great bye-week fill-in. I don't know if you have anyone in your tier five that you think that necessarily stands out. I mean, Sam Bradford.
No,
he's pretty much playing for his job right now.
I hate Bradford.
I'm just going to throw names out there. I mean, Brian Hoyer's. The interesting thing about Brian Hoyer is whether we're all following the Josh Gordon suspension, I was right for the time being. Hoyer's going to start over Johnny Manziel. I don't think it's a question.
We'll see. Starting the first preseason game.
No, he's going to start.
I don't know.
The reason they gave Manziel reps is because they realized they were wrong, and they want to make something out of this guy. They're like, all right, maybe if we're playing with the first-team offense, he'll show a little bit more. Hoyer's just a better player, a more reliable player. The only reason they would put Manziel in is for fans.
I do not think that Hoyer is a more talented player, first of all.
No, more reliable.
You said more talented, too.
Yeah, I think he's a better quarterback. Right now.
All right. Well, here's why I don't like Brian Hoyer. This guy could do everything right, and if the Browns are losing, he's still going to lose his job. Think about that.
Yeah. I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if he lasted all. I would be surprised if he lasted all season, just for that reason. Like, Manziel is going to play eventually, whether he deserves it or not. So no, I don't trust him. But if in a two quarterback league, if you end up with Hoyer, I mean, then you could always pick up Manziel, and pretty much every other quarterback at this point is bye week eligible anyway, as a bye week fill-in. So,
a couple guys from this tier that I'll talk about. I think E.J. Manuel is a year away. I think he has young weapons, and he's young himself. I think maybe next year, you might see some improvement this year, but next year will be his true breakout year if it comes. Two guys that I think are talented, Bradford. I don't really think Bradford's that talented. And Jake Locker, two guys that are always hurt, I should say. I'll take a risk on Locker before I take a risk on Bradford. I just do not – I don't think Bradford's ever really shown anything, to tell you the truth. And a guy that I think is a little bit of a sleeper that you're going to call me crazy on, because I know you don't like him, is Geno Smith. I think, if he cuts down on the interceptions, I don't think he's going to be an elite guy. But, the most underrated thing about Geno is that he can get out of the pocket and run. I'm not comparing him to Andrew Luck at all, but in the way he runs, he's a big guy that can get out of the pocket, run, and he does it a lot in the red zone. I think he tied for the league lead for rushing yards from quarterbacks last year, if I'm not mistaken.
Geno Smith, I wouldn't be we talked about last week.
Can you see Geno Smith, throwing for 20 and running for 6?
Yeah. It's definitely as a quarterback too, maybe. And it looks like I was wrong. I thought Michael Vick was going to start. It looks like more and more like Geno Smith is going to be the guy that they want him to be the starter. So
don't get me wrong, I do not want to go into a two quarterback league with Geno Smith as like QB2.
But
QB3. Hopefully that it takes over my QB2. I'd be fine.
They still didn't upgrade their weapons much. Yeah, it's not terrible because I'm not in love with any of these guys here. And I mean, you talk about E.J. Manuel, I'm done with him. I really am. I just don't think he is.
Haven't even done with him yet. He's played like 10 games.
You
like Sam Bradford?
No, I don't like Sam Bradford. I just threw out his name just because I like Sam Bradford better than E.J. Manuel. I just don't think E.J. Manuel doesn't have the tools, the confidence. I just, he's as much to your, kind of like you just said, I'd much rather have Geno Smith than E.J. Manuel. And there's also, E.J. Manuel might be, if it weren't for the terrible quarterback situation in Minnesota, E.J. Manuel is probably my last rated quarterback, except for the Minnesota situation. A few other guys.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
I have him at 26, but.
No, you're right. And he does have upside, so I guess he's worth a flyer as compared to these other guys, but I'd much rather have, the guys I have in that area. Ryan Tannehill, Carson Palmer, I talked about him, going to move up, so I guess I shouldn't even mention him. Brian Hoyer, for the time being, while he starts. Geno Smith, even. Jake Locker, who I don't love. Ryan Fitzpatrick, I'm probably going to move down. But another guy, Chad Henne.
I don't
hate Chad Henne here. I think it looks like he's going to play for most of the season.
Right now, who's your – he's my 33 starter, 33, because I had – Smith and Vic right next to each other. I haven't been at 29 and 30 because I didn't know it was going to start. But who's your last rated, 32nd rated quarterback?
Matt Castle.
Okay. I have Teddy Bridgewater at 32 because I think he's going to start. But I have Ryan Fitzpatrick.
Yeah, any of those guys, those are the guys I would think, I hate Fitzpatrick too. Those are the guys I think I would put in that last category. Matt Castle, it looks like he's going to start. But Bridgewater is going to take over sooner than later. That's why Bridgewater is my first backup listed, just because he's going to get the most playing time. I don't think he's necessarily the best one.
Who's your top-rated quarterback that is not projected to start?
Bridgewater.
I think he's projected to start.
I don't think he is. I think Castle's going to start. Whatever. If you put Bridgewater there, then I have Manziel, just because I think he's the next guy who's going to come in. And he's going to have Tebow value.
I'm talking about, injury. Say every starting quarterback in the league gets
a
carry.
So Kirk Cousins.
Okay.
And that's, I think he's going to play.
What I'm saying is, if this quarterback gets hurt, you want to go out and get this Kirk Cousins. You know what I mean?
I think Kirk Cousins could
Not talking about potential.
Kirk Cousins could finish Kirk Cousins could do what Nick Foles did last year if RG3 were to get hurt.
I think my two, I think, would be.
I have a few other suggestions if you're.
No. I have a couple. I just thought. I kind of don't. I mean, what about Matt Flynn in Green Bay if Rodgers goes down?
If he gets hurt, but I think. Did you watch Matt Flynn last year? He was awful. The guy was god awful.
I mean, I wouldn't mind Glennon in Tampa Bay.
Let me tell you what I think. There's three
guys.
Brock Osweiler in Denver, which you got to consider Peyton somewhat of a risk, and guy's got a big arm, and just from his weapons and the same reason, that's the same reason I like Brandon Weeden in Dallas. The guy.
Yeah, you said that last week.
Yeah, he has phenomenal receivers, and no, I don't think he's either one of these guys are going to finish as a top 10 quarterback. But with those weapons, he's definitely a quarterback too. I like him better than a lot of the guys we need, better than Schaub and Locker, Fitzpatrick, for example, and also another this guy who I love if something were to happen, Ryan Mallett, if Brady were to get hurt.
Okay, I just looked down my list. I got a couple that are not going to happen, but purely for fantasy-wise, I'm not saying he'd be a good quarterback at all. Terrell Pryor in Seattle, just because I think he could be a decent fantasy quarterback, I mean, rushing-wise. I have two more. How about Mark Sanchez in Philly if Foles was to go down?
I know,
but...
Yeah, maybe just the situation.
Rex Ryan is a head coach that doesn't even pay attention to his offense. Now he's going to the most innovative offensive sport. He has talent.
I mean, he'd be worth taking a flyer. If Mark Sanchez was starting in Philly, would he be your 32nd-ranked quarterback, you think? No, right?
No, he'd probably be in that
Geno Smith, Sam Bradford area, right?
Yeah, just because of that situation, because of the offense, I think the only reason you put him that high.
And who's the backup in Chicago? Is it Davis Sales? Because I've seen this kid play in college, and he was
Chicago?
Yeah, he's a really good athlete.
I don't believe so. I think they have someone. Chad Henney or not Chad Henney. What's the guy's name? Caleb Haney?
Is that his name? Well, if David Sales were to back up. Oh, how about Michael Vick, too, obviously. Neither one of us mentioned Michael Vick.
Yeah, that's not a bad one. Look up Chicago's backup now. I kind of want to know. I don't know.
Do you know David Sales? Do you remember him in college?
What did he play for?
San Jose State.
It's possible.
Jordan Palmer. You can beat out Jordan Palmer for the backup, Jeff. I mean, go on.
Maybe. I mean, we're talking about rookies, and you got Derek Carr is an interesting situation.
I'm just talking about fantasy-wise. Derek Carr is a better quarterback than David Fields, but David Fields can run.
Yeah, I guess it's possible, and Cutler's been pretty injury-prone.
Ooh, goal line draw to Trent Richardson. I like Trent Richardson getting goal line where I mean, he got stuff, but still.
I don't think they're going to run in the red zone with Andrew Luck in a preseason game, so. Maybe they're trying out new things. Pretty much talked about every quarterback on my list, to be honest.
Yeah, I mean, my most overrated would be Nick Foles. How about yours?
I just have three guys written down. I kind of discussed why I thought so during, but Nick Foles, RG3, and Andy Dalton.
Gotcha. I have Andy Dalton right 20th, so I don't think
I still think we're...
Dude, go ahead and draft him. I don't care.
That's just because we're lower on them than most people, so...
Yeah, my underrated would be, I'm trying to think. I'm looking at my list, and I'm looking at guys. I think Matt Ryan might be a little underrated this year.
Just because he had such a bad year last year. That's not about, I have Carson Palmer, even though people are going to be higher on him now, but I've been on it. I've been counting him the entire time, Jay Cutler, and there's not much down there.
They're really.
I'd say Chad Henne or Brian Hoyer.
I'd say maybe Ryan Tannehill if he takes that next step.
It's hard. There's no true sleepers. You can't pretend. I mean, we didn't even mention Nick Foles last season.
Well,
but,
that's because he was starting.
But I'm saying there's no sleepers at the quarterback position.
I will say that if I think if there's a veteran, let's say, that has been in the league for 3 or more years. So I'm not going to count Tannehill. That's going to make that jump to not maybe an elite guy, but like a top eight. Like Andy Dalton last year, you know what I mean? Could have 1 year like that. I think it is still Flacco.
Flacco. Maybe Josh McCown.
God, I don't see him doing over 16.
No, I don't either. I still like him better than Flacco if you're talking about.
I mean, he's got
a running back coming off of off-season surgery. He's got a rebrand offensive line. He's got a rookie wide receiver, a rookie tight end. I don't see it with Josh McCown.
No, he was great. I mean, he obviously had a much better reference, but he was great last year.
Yeah. I think Eli could have a good year too.
Yeah, but I mean, how many times do we say? I think these guys, all their upside is pretty much capped.
I mean, Eli's got a 5,000-yard season.
Yeah, that was a long time ago.
Really, it's good.
And their offense. I know we argued all day, but their offense didn't improve much at all.
Okay.
And now you have, I mean, he does have Rashad Jennings.
I think the Lions are going to see how much that offense improved week one, buddy.
I guess we'll see. I mean,
Eli's going for 3 and Ruben Brandle's catching 2. You heard it here first.
Week one.
Yeah.
To what? 2 balls?
No, touchdown.
Yeah, 2 passes. 2 floating ducks.
They're playing what, September 7th?
Whenever it is, Monday night, I don't know.
Oh, no, September 8th. So 9th, 10th. All right, okay. September 11th on this show, I will be gloating that Eli Manning threw 3 touchdowns against the Detroit Lions.
Sick task. I guess
you
heard it here first. They're stout secondary. They're all
sick.
Look, I don't care if you're right as long as the Lions pull that one out. But either way, I mean, we pretty much covered everyone on my list.
Yeah, you want to just talk a little bit about draft strategy as far as the difference between 1 and 2?
1-2 quarterback leagues, yeah. We kind of brought it up with the first 3 guys.
Yeah, I'm talking about, you know, just more in general.
Just, I mean, from a main perspective, I think if you, in a 1 quarterback league, as we mentioned, if the top 3 quarterbacks go, you're going to be able to wait for one of the, you know, the next tier of guys. You're going to be able to wait to at least, these guys will fall to the 8th, 9th round. Like some leagues you'll get Tony Romo, Colin Kaepernick, Nick Foles, Phillip Rivers, Matt Ryan.
Well, are you talking about standard or 6-point?
Standard. I mean, there's all different rules, whatever. I mean, you just got to go by the most commonly used, which is standard 10-team league. So,
yeah.
I mean, these guys will fall. You can wait for them that long. And it's not the worst thing in the world if you already round out your team because you waited this long to get a quarterback. I wouldn't object to going Cutler, Ryan back-to-back in rounds 9, 10, if they're available.
I wouldn't do it.
I wouldn't. You don't love it, but what if one of them doesn't work out? I mean, there's, especially if you, then you can play matchups. It's not the worst idea in the world, assuming you have a full
understand what you're doing. I just think I understand what you're saying. It's just like, I think quarterback's even deeper than that. I don't think you need 2 guys that high. I think you can go Cutler and Flacco 4 rounds later. You know what I mean?
Right. Well, like you said, I don't, well.
What I'm saying is, like, all right, say round 9. Sorry to cut you off, but round 9. Let's say you get Ryan. Let's say you have the pick, you know, the 10th pick. I'd rather draft, like, the number 1 handcuff running back and Matt Ryan or Jay Cutler than...
Yeah, I would, too, but if you're... Well, say you're... That's what I'm saying. You have to round out the rest of your team, so assuming you... 3 wide receivers, 2 running backs, and a tight end, that's, you already have your starters after 6 rounds. You take your next... You take the top handcuff, the next best wide receiver, and then you're... You already have 2 established guys on your bench, so...
I know what you're saying. It's just, like... I'd rather wait till the last round to take Joe Flacco.
It depends who's available. I mean,
two quarterback leagues is where it gets more interesting. Because I think the top 3 guys should be first-round picks and top 5 picks, if I just in 2 quarterback leagues.
And these other guys are not going to be able to wait around on them at all.
No.
And a 2 quarterback league, the best part about having one of the top 3 guys in a 2 quarterback league is you don't reach for any of these second-tier guys, which is going to happen. That's on it over and over again. It's going to happen. There's going to be a quarterback run. Everyone's going to start to panic for the reason I just said. You don't want to have Andy Dalton or Ben Roethlisberger as your starting number 1 quarterback.
Right.
There's really no coming back from that. You're at a complete disadvantage every single week over pretty much whoever else you're playing. So, and it's not like, you know, you're not going to find a guy off a waiver wire. It's on a week-to-week basis. A lot easier to find.
Not only that, if you're getting one of the top 3 guys, value at other positions is going to fall to you because people are going to be reaching for, you know, like
Eric Decker. This guy's going to, you know, there's going to be guys taking Tony Romo and Eli Manning in the third or fourth round because they're so nervous. You're going to be getting value. I remember me and you do a 10-team, two-quarterback league. Remember last year, AJ Green with the fourth round?
Yeah, these guys, you'd be surprised. They're absolutely going to fall. We'd pretty much take our word for it. What would you think? What do you think about, all right, so say you take Peyton Manning in the first round, which is going to happen in most leagues, comes back around, his second or third round, you end up with Stafford or Romo or something. You fill out your two quarterbacks.
What pick do I want to take a Manning with?
It doesn't matter.
Well,
that's the point. You're missing the point of the question. You already have your two starting quarterbacks.
Yeah.
Someone like who you're fairly high on, Cutler, Rivers, or Ryan, falls to the sixth or seventh round. And a two-quarterback league, would you jump on that?
It would depend what my third, fourth, and fifth guys
are. It obviously depends. These guys, that's another thing. They're going to have such great value.
Like, if I'm taking guys like that I can't really depend on, like, if I take Gronk in the fifth round, then no, I'm taking this. You know what I mean?
Yeah. They're gonna have such trade value. They really are, and you're gonna come
you're
to
right.
see that. And as soon as one of them has a big week, you're gonna be able to.
Or as soon as one of the top guys goes down,
right? Like you're gonna be able to get top value.
You with Rodgers last year.
Plus, that's pretty invaluable that you could. If Peyton does get hurt, and you fill in with someone like Matt Ryan as your third quarterback,
the dumbest move. Once Rodgers, I had. What you referred to before is I rode Philip Rivers. Not really rode because I missed the playoffs because of freaking Rodgers. But I had the dumbest move I made last year was when I had Rodgers and Rivers as my two guys, and Rodgers went down, and I forget who I replaced him with. It was someone like, I don't
Matt,
know.
It was Matt Flynn. First week.
Yeah, the first week.
So you learned your lesson then.
But, yeah, you know, and I got offered Cam Newton for Aaron Rodgers, and I was in a good position in the standings. I'm like, you know what, no. Because Rodgers had a great playoff schedule, and I was already counting myself on the playoffs. And I said, no, no, no. And I ended up losing, three or four straight games and missing the playoffs, and I could have made it if I had Cam Newton, and I had a chance to win the league if I had Cam Newton.
Sick story.
Yeah, well, I'm just saying, you can get good value.
Right, no, definitely. That's my point. It's nice having a decent quarterback to fill in instead of having to go to waiver wire with. I mean, there's also been situations where I've seen depending on how deep your bench is, there's also been people who picked up all the starting quarterbacks and there was no one available for you to get if you're not left with a reliable backup.
Who's done that?
Yeah, I've pulled it off once or twice before. So, but that's part of the game, and especially during bye weeks. And, you know, you also – I don't like to follow bye weeks during the draft, but you can get in a really bad situation if you have two – so your top two quarterbacks are on a bye in the same week.
The only time I follow bye weeks is during a two quarterback week.
That could come back to haunt you. But it's also good for the rest of the weeks, but still.
What's a bye week?
You just gotta make sure you're starting. We need that as a sound clip. I think we pretty much covered it. I mean, there's only so much you could talk about. Obviously every draft is different. We have a two quarterback league and a one-quarterback league coming up this weekend, our first draft.
No, next weekend.
Next weekend, yeah. So this will be our first draft, which is kind of cool, two different strategies. And also, of course, as usual with these leagues, so early enough where so many things are going to change before the actual season starts. So
yeah, I mean, we'll talk about not in the great detail, but we'll talk about the drafts that we do on the show after.
I think this is going to be one of our shortest shows. We're going to end it a little early. There's only so much you can talk about with quarterbacks. Next week will be a little bit longer, a little bit more interesting. I promise more arguments. Let me go over the running back position. Running back, of course, except for two quarterback leagues, running backs are the guys you're going to mostly go for in the first round. So make sure you tune in. Make sure you pay attention. It's all the time we have today. For the Monday Morning Hangover, this is Mo, T, and Cons. Thanks for listening. Best of luck. The way we take it to the house.